TalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. What a crowd we've got today, Jim. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we welcome you to Lawyers Who Needs Them. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my partner. He is one of New York State's top trial attorneys, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the founder and CEO of Ignition Consulting, serving business, education, and nonprofit clients throughout the United States.
Now, each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And put some common sense and a sense of humor back in, perhaps.
That's if you have a sense of humor.
We have a sense of humor.
Yes, slight. It's an affected sense of humor. Just a touch.
Yeah, a little touch.
Well, each week we'll be answering questions from our loyal listeners and even those who aren't so loyal. And you can send those questions to us by email. Simply send them to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. That's info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And we'll be happy to answer those questions if Jim wakes up at the very next show. And if you want to learn more about this very unusual and remarkable Renaissance man, James Hartman, you can do so by going to the official website of Lawyers Who Needs Them, which is lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. Or, if you like to shorten things, lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. Either way, you will reach us. Questions? info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. We welcome those questions and we'll answer them on next week's program. So, without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. A lawyer has decided to build his office in a tree. Is this guy a fruit or a nut?
Well, it depends on the kind of tree. If it's a fruit tree, he's probably a fruit. If it's a nut tree, he's probably a nut. In either case, well, I think he's a kind of nut anyway.
to be in a tree. What's the attraction
of
the tree?
Well, the fellow has always been fond of trees and tree houses.
Oh, okay.
And he's in Colorado and in some forest, I guess. Well, he's building a sophisticated office in a treehouse or in a tree, and it's about 20 feet high in a grove of 50 to 90 foot tall pine trees near his home in Evergreen, Colorado. His name is Richard Russeth.
And what type of law firm is this going to be?
Well, I don't think he's a law I don't think he's in private practice. I think he works for a company because it says his office will have Wi-Fi,
okay,
wireless phone lines,
okay,
and a quaint wood-burning stove so that he can easily conduct business as the vice president and general counsel of Leprino Foods. So obviously, he doesn't have a lot of clients coming
in.
Oh,
I see. So there are no animals coming to get
there
assistance.
There may be animals, but, you know, I'd hate to be in that tree with that little stove all of a sudden.
You just said he's got a stove in a pine tree.
That's right.
You're right. He's a nut.
Well,
He hasn't paid any attention to Smokey the Bear.
The problem is his practice is kind of up in the air now. I mean, I don't know whether the guy's going to. But at any rate, most people think it's a cool idea and they're jealous. But, you know, after all, it's a little tough. You got an old client that tried to climb up a rope to get your office.
That's
what can you do? You haul him up?
You haul him up.
Madam,
that's what you do.
Madam, hold on to the rope, my dear. We'll get you up. Whoop, whoop. No. There goes another client. So what can I tell you?
Well,
it's unique.
In the annals of law.
It is unique.
It is something we felt you all need to know, folks.
Right.
So if you happen to be in that area of Colorado, stop in at the treehouse for a drink.
For Mr. Russeth.
Yes.
And wish him the best. Maybe he'll draw you a will. Maybe he'll do some work for you.
You never know. Well, a prosecutor candidate has added a new meaning to the phrase, "What about the fee?"
Well, this is a very unusual thing. Maybe not so unusual because he's a candidate to run for prosecutor, which would be like a district attorney.
Yes.
Some states call them state's attorneys, whatever.
Okay.
And he has been accused of secretly videotaping a tryst with a former client who agreed to pay her bill with sex. So
how come we never can get paid?
I don't know. All they got for us is money, and not too much of that. So he's 57-year-old William Wallace of Princeton, Indiana. He's a candidate for the Gibson County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, and he was formerly the contract lawyer for the city of Princeton. He also received an award, let me tell you something, for pro bono work last year.
Well, I can see why it was pro bono.
It was pro bono for because, well, of course, he doesn't charge. It doesn't charge what we would charge.
He doesn't charge regular cash.
Yeah, he doesn't say write out a check.
Right.
Or something. So anyway, she got a little nervous about this.
Oh.
The former client went to the police, not that she denied the dress.
Right.
Or offering him sex as a fee.
Right.
But she didn't know she was being taped.
Oh.
And, of course, that's a little different. So she told the newspaper that Wallace left his house during a police search and was caught trying to stuff, after the police came in to find out what's wrong with his
right.
butt,
he was
stuffing video discs and an external hard drive down his pants. And he must have looked beautiful walking down the street with his pants all bulging. And anyway.
You know, he could just blend in with the population.
Well,
with that kind of condition. What a beauty. This guy really is.
Some of the stuff, some of the videos were what appears to be children engaged in sexual activity.
This guy's a screwball.
He should go back up to the nut tree with my.
Right. I think
anyhow,
he's going to go someplace else.
The indictment was returned about the same time that a storm blew out a courtroom window. sending glass within 18 inches of the jury box, which means the big man upstairs was letting you know his disapproval of this kind of conduct by prosecutors or anybody else.
All right.
God. Can you believe it?
That's the hand of God in action.
It certainly was.
All right.
It wasn't the hand of God in action for the tryst. It was the hand of God in action blowing
right,
the window out.
Right, right.
To let them know, don't have any trysts.
All right.
Trysts are not great.
Remind me to look the word tryst up later, okay?
Well,
and find out where it's derived from.
I think it's derived from the old Swedish tristagen.
Tristagen?
Tristagen.
Which means?
The dancing in the forest.
Right. Listen, here's a... You know?
What?
You belong in the forest.
with the fruit nut tree.
That's right. We might do the show from there. We'd be perfectly matched.
Right.
All right. The Supreme Court ruled against the right to privacy on texting this week.
Well, this is an important decision. What happened in this particular case, the employer of the person using the equipment, whose name was Jeffrey Kwan.
Okay.
He was a policeman. And the Supreme Court said the search of his
cell phone,
was justified because there was a legitimate work-related rationale. This equipment belonged to the police department.
Oh,
but this
okay.
could be true if you work for a department store in the
sure.
house, as far as I can see. Now,
so he was
always
texting personal things.
Yes. The Supreme Court is always a little reluctant, very reluctant to, encroach upon free speech of any kind. But there are, of course, certain different things. It was disposing of the case, it said, on very narrow grounds, because it might have implications for future cases that cannot be predicted, because that's always the case.
Right.
But they said the same principles apply to physical searches of a government employee's office, also apply to an electronic search, so that where you have the Fourth Amendment violations, the search and seizure type
mm-hmm.
thing,
yes.
the same rules would apply concerning electronic information as would apply to written hard copy information or other things.
Okay.
In addition, though, in this case, the plaintiff or the person who brought the lawsuit, Kwan, had signed an acknowledgement that he had no expectation of privacy when using computers or other devices issued by the city. Now, that's a very key question, because whether you are entitled to Fourth Amendment protection usually relates, that is, the invasion of your privacy, relates to your expectation of privacy.
Uh-huh.
For instance, if you have some documents and you're walking down the street and reading them out loud to the public, you don't expect that
privacy. Right.
And so the court obviously has to proceed with care in these situations, considering the whole concept of privacy expectations in communications made on electronic equipment as well as other kinds of stuff.
Okay.
So that's that. And so, folks, if you have your employer's, if he owns your
cell phone.
Cell phone.
It's easy for you to
or
say.
Or your computer or anything else, the information on there is not, you cannot, you better not think that you're expecting privacy. If you use that, there may be a presumption that you do not expect privacy.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. And that's a very nice summation of the Supreme Court. Now, we have a very peculiar topic here, and it's the peculiar case of the alarming brassiere.
That's right. A lawyer couldn't get into the courthouse because it set off the metal detector when she went through the
thing. Her brassiere set it off.
It was her underwire brassiere.
Aha. Uh-huh. There
and
you go.
And it set off, and so after a visit to the restroom, she returned without her brassiere, her bra. And this time, she wasn't allowed in because she was violating the prison dress code. I'm sorry, she wasn't going into the courthouse. She was going into the prison to visit a client or a potential client.
So they wouldn't let her in because she had it on.
And then they wouldn't let her in because she had it off. Because apparently there's a rule in a prison, you have to wear a bra.
Oh.
I never heard such a thing, but that's what it looks like. Anyway, the guards weren't aware of an arrangement worked out some years ago in which women lawyers, if you tell them, you know, if they set off the thing and they say, and you're willing to have a wand, you know, the wand passed over you.
Not quan, but wand.
Wand.
Right.
And if you can have the wand, they'll let you in with the wire,
right,
with the brassiere that sets the machine off. But the law warden said that they realized this situation, and it won't happen again.
Oh, okay. Because, you know,
all right,
so, I use an underwire brassiere every once in a while myself. And
Brittany Horseman is the lawyer's name. Brittany, put your brassiere back on because it's not going to happen again. You got to let them use a wand, but you don't have to go to the ladies' room, come out, and breach the dress code in whatever prison you go to see your clients. It's a very interesting thing.
I tell you, that's a tough one. You know, it's hard enough to be a female attorney, but now you got to go through that kind of scrutiny. It's really tough. So, we don't want you to go through any more scrutiny. We're going to take a short intermission while my partner calms down after this last case and gets ready for his next case. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. Don't touch that dial.